Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our fall membership drive. I'll get back to that in just a moment. Advances in DNA testing and online genealogy websites have made scaling the family tree easier and more efficient. Today, we're talking about how to help folks who want to get started in their quest to build that family tree. And for those who are perhaps stymied by the process right now, joining us is Manager of Library Services for the Ohio History Connection, Elizabeth Woods. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And also with us, Columbus-based professional genealogist Kelly Bergheimer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. This is our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support. It's the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. We're spending the hour talking about genealogy and discovering what's in your family tree, and we have a great thank you gift for this hour. We're partnering with the Ohio History Connection. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 and become a member of two organizations. You'll be a member of WOSU Public Media, of course, and you'll get a premium membership to the Ohio History Connection. Go online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. A premium membership means you get free admission to all the Ohio History Connection's 50-plus sites and museums statewide for two adult members and children or grandchildren. Plus, you get access to a complimentary genealogy workshop, and you will have access to Ancestry.com and the Ohio History Center's reading room for free. In the reading room, you will have librarians on hand to help you with your genealogy search if you get stuck. There's a lot more included in the membership, and that is all listed at our website, and our volunteers who are waiting to take your calls have all the details. Become a member of WOSU. Support public radio and get this great thank you gift, a premium membership to the Ohio History Connection. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Go online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And by the way, we're in an era of experiences, not stuff. So if you know somebody who's a history buff, right off the bat, they're going to enjoy traveling the state and seeing all of the sites that they'll have access to. But if everybody knows somebody who's a genealogy buff too nowadays, this is a great opportunity to give the gift to somebody who maybe has everything or who doesn't need more stuff. Give them the experience and give them the help and the nuances that come with a membership to the Ohio History Connection. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. I want to thank Sven Larson from Westerville for your pledge of support. Thanks for supporting your local radio station, your local public radio station, and All Sides with Ann Fisher. Still with me, Kelly Bergheimer. She's a Columbus-based professional genealogist, and Elizabeth Woods, manager of library services for the Ohio History Connection. Kelly, what does a professional genealogist do?
Well, there are a wide variety of professional genealogists. Some focus on research and helping people to build their family trees, document, helping with what we call brick walls, places where people are stuck in their research and can't figure out. A lot of times that's the immigrant ancestor. So we've get to the point where we've traced someone all the way back to maybe Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, but can't get past to figure out where they immigrated from. Professional genealogists also help people, people find biological parents or birth parents. And so that's another area that's blossoming and blooming right now is genetic genealogy. It's another huge area, but again, it's not something we do in a vacuum. It's within the housing of regular genealogy and our genealogical pursuits. There are professional genealogists who just are public speakers, mm-hmm. and they travel around the area or the country doing talks and that sort of thing. And I happen to be a professional genealogist for organization. So I help people organize what they have and make sense out of what they have, and also to write family stories. So a little bit different focus than research, but something that everyone should probably consider rather than just compiling, but yeah. Focus on preservation.
And, you know, when you think about a resource, I imagine the Ohio History Connection is huge.
It is huge. Yes. We're so fortunate in Central Ohio, not only to have the Ohio History Connection and the archives there, but we also have the Columbus Metropolitan Library. Mm-hmm. Within about an hour and a half drive, we have the Ohio Genealogical Society Library. So we have a wealth of things in this area, not to mention all of our college library systems and our regional archives that we have, including photography archives. So we're very blessed in Central Ohio to have a wealth of places to visit. And when people ask me, when they come to this area, where should I go first? I always say the Ohio History Connection and the Columbus Metropolitan Library should be top on your list.
Elizabeth Woods, how has the demand for your services changed over time now?
It has definitely become more of a demand online.
Okay.
Access to the records, you know, oftentimes people don't make the trips and they expect more items to be digitized, which is a hit or miss because you'll need people and money for digitization of records. So I think the biggest change I have noticed is more demand online. Our email request is probably larger than our on-site visits, things of that sort. And can I just add
sure.
one thing? We shouldn't just consider organization. It is a must. You will retrace your steps over and over unless you've organized your information. So
Yes. It's
not a should. I think it's almost the first thing you should do is make sure you're organized so when you're coming into the library, we can better direct you into the information that you'll need.
Yeah. As far as that, part of the membership is a workshop. What might that involve?
That's really exciting. We oftentimes try to find well-versed speakers that talk about subjects that is very broad. So you might have an idea that you have an ancestor that immigrated. What does that look like regarding what documentation may exist? Is it county? Is it federal? Things of that. So we often bring in top speakers on those subjects. The last two we have this year is the African-American migration experience. So it's you have ancestors that come from more likely the South. How do you retrace their steps? And then the very last one is a webinar, a deep dive in census, which is a really awesome record that we just kind of gloss over. It's like we found them in the census, but really, if you dig deep, learning who their neighbors are, which may turn out to be a cousin, and really understanding, especially when children move from house to house, who they're actually living with. And I should mention that next year we have not secured her. Hopefully she will agree. We're hoping to have one on DNA here with Kelly in April.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's a variety of things that people would get to choose from.
Correct.
So it's not a genealogy workshop that you have to go to. It's a choice.
Correct.
That you can, there's several options. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the treasure hunt that's called genealogy these days. People want to know where they come from. They want to know who their ancestors are. They want to understand where they came from and what their stories are. It's a lot more than just putting together names on a chart. And that's kind of like what we do with public radio every day and with 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's more than just calling up people and saying, can you come to the studio and talk to me? It's planning and making sense of the world for you and then figuring out who the best people are to talk to every day. If it's that kind of programming that is something that you value, give us a call and show your support for 89.7 NPR News during our fall fun drive. The number to call is 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 and get the Ohio History Connection membership. This is good for two adults and all the children in your family or grandchildren. You can go to the Ohio History Center in Central Ohio, which is super cool. I love it. There's so, kids love that place.
Mm-hmm.
And also visit 50 other sites 50 plus other sites statewide for a full year. Go online to WOSU.org or call 866 897-9678. When you get this membership, you have access to Ancestry.com and the Ohio History Center's Reading Room here in Columbus for free. And you can also visit sites around Ohio to learn more about your family. Talk directly with historians who are experts in their subject matter. For example, if you learn that an ancestor served at Fort Meigs in Perrysburg, you can visit that site, walk over the same ground that person walked over more than 100 years ago, and chat with historians who have spent years reading and researching the lives of those soldiers. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 and get this Ohio History Connection membership. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Now, with me in the studio today, Elizabeth Woods. She's the manager of the library services for the Ohio History Connection, sort of like the man, right here in the studio.
Thank you.
And Kelly Bergheimer. She's a Columbus-based professional genealogist. They're both here waiting to take your questions. Are you interested in genealogy? Are you maybe have some questions about how to introduce your child to it, how to make it interesting to other people in the family? Mm-hmm. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Is it easier, Elizabeth Woods, for some people to scale that family tree than others?
Oh, definitely. Especially depending upon location. I've done some genealogy in my own family, of course, to learn what we have and how to use the records. And I'm great as long as they're in Ohio to about 18, it's like 50. And then when they went to Kentucky, it's like, uh-oh, that requires a visit and more information. So there's definitely some lines that the information's just out there and it's really easy to gather. But most of us, it's a little bit more difficult.
For some people that maybe hail from a particularly organized religion, they kept great records, some of them. Some of them not so much, depending on what country you come from.
Mm-hmm.
Germans are great at record keeping.
Correct.
That's their thing. Other countries, not so much, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Then the challenges of people who are African American, as you said, the Great Migration has inspired a lot of people locally. What are the challenges for them?
Well, that's a good question. I'll speak to experience for me. Oftentimes, in my family line, they moved because someone else was already here and they did not set up shop immediately. So those kind of records that you think you might find someone, such as city directories or maybe even census, you know that they were with this family. You have photos of them with this family, but no documentation because they literally just moved up. They're staying with an aunt, an uncle, until they can get on their own feet. Some of my ancestors moved to other states, and we were talking earlier. If you fall in between a census year or the census decade, it becomes very interesting. That's when you have to count on records like city directories to hopefully find your person.
Mm-hmm. And a city directory is more than just a phone book. The city directory is different, right? Kelly, tell us about those.
Well, the city directories, depending on the year, a lot of them will list occupation. And that's usually a key thing when you're searching for an ancestor. The other thing to keep in mind is there are occupational trade magazines, and many of those are available free as Google Books. And so I've been able to use the city directory to locate perhaps a job or someone. One of my ancestors, my great-great-grandfather, was a bookbinder here in Columbus on the west side, and I was able to look up the bookbinder's trade catalogs and their trade publications. So just like today, where we might go to a genealogy conference or we might go to a conference related to our profession, the tradesmen did that as well. And so there's oftentimes lists of newly joined members, people that have achieved something in particular and are being honored, coal miners, all sorts of publications regarding people's occupations. So that's one of the things I look for. And then we also look for repetitive years, year after year after year. And then sometimes with if your ancestors were boarders, maybe they were in a boarding house, but they were working. Sometimes that gives us a clue to where they were when perhaps they were missing from the rest of their family in a census.
Mm-hmm. The history connection, the Ohio History Connection, the library, it's not just shelves of books.
Right.
It is racks and racks and racks mm-hmm. of documents, original sources of amazing things, all kinds of things, mm-hmm. lists of things. I have something I was thinking of getting to you guys. It's an old Columbus. It's not a city directory. It's a list of businesses. Mm-hmm. It's I can't remember the name of the organization, but maybe. But it's a list of businesses from the 1920s. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. It's just amazing what you have.
Yes, we have maps, and those are very useful to see how neighborhoods have changed. We have newspapers, both original, all the way back to 1800s, I believe, and on microfilm, which is much more accessible. But I just want to speak briefly. It's that little piece of information of occupation that really can help you find mm-hmm. and keep track of your ancestor.
Okay.
So speaking back to my line, if you know they were a blacksmith in Carolina, in North Carolina or South Carolina, and then you cannot find them, and it says in the census, and then you find them pop up in most of my people are from Chillicothe, as a blacksmith, there's a really good chance that that's either your ancestor or a descendant of your ancestor, because they also, the family line stuck with that trade.
Right.
So that's always a piece that I'm always focused on when I'm looking at records is what were you doing? Because that also may explain where you're living. Mm-hmm. Most often you try to stay near your job.
Right, right.
Things of that sort.
Thanks to Thomas Sagan from Columbus for your pledge of support. If you have a question or comment for Elizabeth Woods, you just heard her. She's manager of library services for the Ohio History Connection. Also with us, Kelly Bergheimer, Columbus-based professional genealogist. You can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What has the impact of the DNA testing done to your profession, Kelly Bergheimer?
It has been revolutionary. Most people start with DNA testing because they see a commercial and they think, well, I can find out more about my roots, more about my ethnicity, but it's so much more than that. In Columbus, in Central Ohio, we have a DNA interest group. I would also mention that at the main library downtown Columbus, there's also an African American interest group. So if you're interested in one of those two topics, we have regular meetings and you can look on our website for that as part of the Franklin County Genealogical and Historical Society. But DNA has been something I think that's after the Human Genome Project started in the 1990s has really made DNA analysis and testing affordable, because our government has taken that first step of sequencing and learning what they can about diseases and traits and other things like that. And it's opened up the doors for us to have the wealth of information we have now. And the exciting thing for most of us who are interested in DNA analysis is we find new cousins all the time. You know, we find cousins and aunts and uncles and people that perhaps have been lost to our family, or maybe they're a few generations removed or outside of where we live. But it's been a great connection to people all across the country and all around the world. So I think it's pretty exciting. Ethnicity is kind of where it starts. That's where people get kind of their in into the or health information they might be looking for. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more than that.
And Elizabeth Woods, we talk about what people can get from the Ohio History Connection or the library, but, you know, particularly the Ohio History Connection because of everything that you collect. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what people could give the Ohio History Connection. Maybe they've come into lots of old stuff that mm-hmm. maybe it's war coupons. Maybe it's, you know, there's so many things that we have out there that they don't really have value to us per se anymore. But as a when you gather it all together, it's telling stories, right?
Correct. That's such an interesting question because there's so many collecting areas within the connection. So personally, I'll speak to print materials because mm-hmm. that's what we gather. And we're always looking for ways to fill our holes. So usually that conversation starts via email or phone. I can track down that information for you, where you let us know what it is you have, because you'd be surprised at what we do have that you just don't
see. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So we always like to check to make sure we're not duplicating what we currently have. And will it help us fill holes? Will it speak to collections that we don't have enough information on? Is it speaking to a collection that we have a ton of information on? So it always begins with a reach out. I highly recommend, you know, emailing, I think it's collections@ohiohistory.org. I don't remember the number, but if you start there, we can at least determine how does it fit in our collection. And can I add one other thing? Speaking, and I love how all of the relationship exists in the city when dealing with genealogy, but speaking to the African-American interest group, that's who's actually leading the Great Migration, the African-American journey into Columbus, is Gail Dell Wilson. I hope I pronounced her name correctly. So there's a lot of opportunities for us to work together to get information to people, but that's who's going to be leading it at the center in October.
One of the when you talk about filling holes in your information, I gave a newspaper that I couldn't figure out what it was for a long, long time until I brought it to the Ohio History Connection, donated it, and they explained to me what it was. And it was a hole that they appreciated filling, and it was the fourth Ohio Times, and it didn't make any sense because it came out of Marysville, Virginia, or Merrillsville or something like that. And what it was a regiment newspaper. They used to make their own newspapers and bring their own printing press with them, and then they would send back these newspapers to tell people what was going on wherever they were stationed, or whatever the military word is for that.
Yeah.
And it was so much more interesting once I knew what it was. I knew it was old.
Right.
But I didn't know what it was for.
Yes.
So.
And that's where it has to start, because oftentimes, you know, if that would have came to print materials, I'm like, oh, this isn't a newspaper. And then I would have had to keep talking to different teams. So thankfully, all of this knowledge exists in this building on 70 and 71 that we can figure out what it is and does it fill a hole and how does it represent Ohio and its history.
Jaylen in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi there. My question is for Kelly.
Yes.
And it concerns using DNA and the privacy limitations people maybe should be aware of when they do a DNA test. You have two possibilities. One is that your DNA might someday be used in a criminal case to help solve it. And the other one would be, are you aware that you might find some family surprises that you were not really ready to know about yet?
Yes, I think both of those are big concerns that people have when they're doing DNA testing. It is always a possibility and probably a likelihood that you will find family secrets, or someone will reach out to you because they are adopted. And then what do you do with that information? Also, I think that it's a little bit of buyer beware. In terms of, you know, it's not just an ethnicity test and keep on moving. You really need to have some education on what it is that you're doing and what kind of data is stored and what kind of data is not. And there could be some concerns. You're probably speaking to the Golden State Killer case, where a tool that we commonly use called GEDmatch was used to make a profile for a suspected killer and then see who he compared to in the database. That's something that actually all of us who use that database do every day. We're just not uploading the DNA of a killer. We're uploading the DNA of ourselves or maybe our family, and we're looking for cousins or other connections, or people are looking for bio parents. So yeah, it is definitely a case of buyer beware. Read the terms and services, read the updates when they change, because sometimes the laws change and sometimes those updates change, and know how to find your raw DNA file. If you do a test, go to the settings and download your raw DNA file. Determine what to do if something happens to you, what happens to that test, what happens to the kit. Every company has beneficiary agreements as well. So if you have a kit that's uploaded, let's say to Ancestry, and if something happens to you, you can designate someone to be the beneficiary of that account, to also correspond on your behalf, or to eliminate that kit from the database. So those are all important things to be educated about. And those are topics that you can find out more information online about as well.
Before you commit your DNA.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Buyer beware.
Jalen, thanks for that call. Great question.
I'm sorry. I was just going to add, secrets can be found on paper, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No
right.
problem.
It just takes longer and it takes a little more work. I mean,
right.
I think sometimes people are just shocked at how much information they get from the DNA test.
Yes.
And your advice is well done. I mean, they need to understand what it is they're going to get and what the possibilities are. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I want to say thanks to Josh Friedman from Columbus for your show of support for 89.7 NPR News for All Sides with Ann Fisher. Thanks for listening, Josh. And also thanks for showing your support monetarily by making a gift to 89.7 NPR News right now during our fall membership drive. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 and support All Sides with Ann Fisher during our fall membership drive. When you make a gift at that level, you will also get a great thank you gift, a premium membership to the Ohio History Connection. This is good for two adults and all the children or grandchildren in your family. That's fantastic. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This membership gets you access to the Ohio History Center in Columbus, including access to the reading room there, which you should just at least visit and just to understand what we're talking about when we talk about this reading room. It is sort of gothic. I know it's a particular kind of architecture. I'm trying to think.
Oh, brutalism. The building is brutalism.
Brutalism. And the reading room is like, wow. When you get access to the reading room, that means you get access to Ancestry.com. And there are librarians at the center to help you with your family tree search. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you get access to 50-plus sites around Ohio. And your membership also has reciprocal admission benefits at more than 800 museums and sites nationwide. So if your genealogy search takes you beyond Ohio, you can travel to other museums to learn more about your family history. And for most people, that is exactly the case. Again, support All Sides right now and get this great thank you gift. It's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. That's WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Make that call right now. This is a thank you gift that we're very proud of having put together. I think it started with just a conversation with somebody at the Ohio History Connection, thinking about what could we do? Our organizations have so much in common. And I know we worked very closely with your organization, Elizabeth Woods, when we were putting together the documentary series, Columbus Neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a total go-to place. And that's the first time I had been in a reading room was when I was the host of one of those programs and got to see firsthand with my white gloves on.
Yes.
Some of these very old documents that you keep there.
It's always exciting to see the setup for Columbus Neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
866-897-9678. Show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher and understand more thoroughly your own past history. Kelly Bergheimer, this DNA testing is now a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that there's a geometric progression to all of this, right?
Yes.
The more people who do it, the more information they're getting.
Right.
It's kind of exciting time.
Yeah, each one of the companies, there are five major testing companies, and each one has a database full of people who have tested. So you can match people in the database. You can figure out your relationship to them. It takes a little legwork. You don't just open the results and get your family tree.
Right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Maybe in the future we can wish for that, but not yet. But the other thing that's pretty nice about it, too, is that many of the companies will allow you to upload your results from one company to another.
Okay.
So, for example, you might be able to take your Ancestry DNA results and upload those to MyHeritage, which is a different database that's primarily European-based. The company is owned in operation in Israel, but their focus is European research. So if that's where your focus is, you might consider taking your DNA, raw DNA kit, and uploading it to their database, and then taking advantage of all the people that you match there as well.
Do you have to pay the same fee?
No, it's not the same fee as doing the test.
You've already done the DNA test.
You already have your raw DNA file in the settings of each of the companies. So sometimes there's an upload fee. Sometimes it's as little as $20. Sometimes it's free. I believe MyHeritage is free until December 1st to upload your results from other companies. Living DNA is another new one that's kind of emerging on the scene. It's a UK-based company, and they are taking kits as well because they're trying to build their database. Mm-hmm. So you can upload your results from other testing companies to their site as well. They are primarily focused on United Kingdom. So if you have British, Scottish, Welsh, or Irish ancestry, you might be able to find something very, very particular there that you're not able to find in some of the American databases.
Elizabeth Woods, do you get calls from people all over the place, not just Ohioans?
Oh, yes, definitely. We get calls throughout the country, international, because oftentimes we also serve as the state archives, so we get a lot of the birth, death, marriage, state records, once they move from office, come into our archives, and they haven't been digitized. So they know they exist. They're just trying to locate them. And then oftentimes we're able to provide services such as making copies or pointing out where they're at and sending them off. So there's a lot of people trying to do genealogy that just can't make the trip.
I feel like Ohio is such a crossroads, too.
It really is.
People pass through Ohio on their way out west. They pass through Ohio on their way up from the south during mm-hmm. the Great Migration. It's probably a touchstone for a lot of different people from around a lot of different places.
Yes, can be anywhere from, you know, your whole generation to one or two people who stop through.
And we often think of genealogy as looking backwards. But when you're from Europe and you want to find out where you need to look, it's more of a forward looking thing. Where do people go when they migrated to the United States, right? It's a different point of view in mm-hmm. a way. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you have a question or comment for my guests. You have Elizabeth Woods. She's Manager of Library Services for the Ohio History Connection. And Kelly Bergheimer. She's a Columbus-based professional genealogist. They're here to answer your questions about your genealogy search. Paul in Reynoldsburg, you're on the air. Hi, Paul. Hello, Paul. Okay, we'll wait for Paul. If you have a question, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Paul, you're on the air. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. Say, my mother was a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution, and on my great-grandmother's side, they have records going back to the 1700s proving a relative fought in the Revolutionary War. But she got stuck on my great-grandfather, and they know what year he was born and even the day in New York State, but she couldn't find his parents. So what I've done is I've gone to the 1850 U.S. Census, and I've only found one person in the United States Census that year, the right age and with this name. And I'm wondering, can I trust that to be my great-great-grandfather, or do I need to prove it more? I was debating whether to upload it to FamilySearch.org.
Kelly Bergheimer?
Well, I would say that, you know, the proof standard in genealogy is a reasonably exhaustive search. So just having looked in the census is perhaps not enough. It's a really good indicator and a good clue. However, there are lots of reasons why people either weren't in the census, they migrated, they weren't counted. So I would suggest that you have more than one source. Most of the time when we talk about sourcing, even if it's DNA, we talk about that's not in and of itself enough. Would you like to speak to that as well, Elizabeth?
I'm second and third that comment. You should always make it a goal to find what records may exist that may help when you find that time period. So you have the census, you have an idea of where your person should be, what other records may exist, to just try to really narrow down and make sure that it's truly exhaustive. And sometimes that's just sitting thinking about what do we create as a person on this earth that may exist in, I think you said, New York State.
Mm-hmm. So parish records, there could be something church-related or Catholic Church-related.
Taxes?
Taxes, mm-hmm. Sure.
Property records.
There could be, depending on, you know, the era and depending on the family, there could be lots of other ancillary people. So just as Elizabeth was talking about searching the census, not only for the one person you're looking for, but also looking for the ancillary people around. They call it the FAN method, the friends and associates and neighbors.
And then the occupation. If
correct.
You have stories, even if
right.
it's just stories about what he might have done or anything like that, then you could start to look at those city directories, that kind of a thing.
And the Ohio History Connection has a library subscription, mm-hmm. as does most major public libraries, to Ancestry's database and search features. So even if you're not a member of Ancestry or a member of Family Search, you can go to your local library and put in names and dates and approximations and see what you can find. I would also search Find a Grave, some of those other online databases as well.
Thanks for that call. Now I'm going to turn to Matthew in Columbus. You're on the air, Matthew. Hi.
Hi. I am an adopted person. I was adopted basically at birth in 1987, and I'm on Ancestry. I was actually able to find my birth father's family and locate him, but I've not been so lucky with my birth mother. I was wondering what other resources might be out there to assist me. I kind of noticed that Ancestry is not actually all set up for doing this kind of search.
Right, that's true. There are some other sources that you could use, some other sites. If you're on Facebook, there are several really good adoptive family or DNA detective type Facebook pages or Facebook groups that you could belong to. We do a lot of work at the Franklin County Genealogical and Historical Society DNA Interest Group. When we meet, we have a lot of adoptees who've been very successful in finding either a bio dad or bio mom or both. We talk about tools and how to use your raw DNA, how to use your match list, how to make progress in that search. There also is a group called Search Angels that you could Google, and they're a group of volunteers all around the country who are helping people with adoption and foundling stories and trying to help people reunite. And when in doubt, you can hire a professional genealogist. The Association of Professional Genealogists, APG for short, online, has a list of people there who are qualified to help you in your search if you're interested in paying someone at least to review what you've done so far or even to give you some hints or to hopefully finish that process for you.
Matthew, thanks for that call. Appreciate it. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. We have about 17 minutes left in the hour, so we do have time to take calls. Keep them coming. With a membership to 89.7 NPR News, you will be supporting public radio and supporting All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our fall membership drive, and we're asking you right now to show your support at whatever you can manage to show your support for WOSU Public Media. Our thank you gift this hour is a premium membership to the Ohio History Connection. Make a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Go online to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This membership includes two adults and your children or grandchildren. Plus, you get access to a complimentary genealogy workshop you can choose. There's an array of them for over a 12-month period. period. This workshop goes right along with our show topic today, and you get free access to Ancestry.com from the reading room at the Ohio History Center. You also have librarians on hand to help you keep moving when you get stuck. Not to mention, a premium membership gets you access to 50-plus sites around the state and reciprocal admission discounts at more than 800 museums and sites nationwide. Make a gift right now, $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Get this thank you gift today and support public media and shows just like All Sides with Ann Fisher. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We have 15 minutes left in the program, so I'm going to ask for 15 more pledges at whatever level you can afford. If it's $5 a month, that's great. We want you to become a member of this public radio station. That's what we're looking for right now. If we, you know, these thank you gifts are bonuses. What we want right now is for you to make that move to become a member of your favorite public radio station. You know, sometimes people think that this week's hard on me. It's hard on my voice, but it's not hard on me. I don't mind asking you to show support for something that I know you value. If you can't manage it, that's okay. Maybe next time. You know, people in the past have given when they could to make All Sides with Ann Fisher, to make 89.7 NPR News available for people in the future. And we're kind of talking about the fast and the past and the future right now, and what kind of effect and why it matters to us. So if this is something that you can afford right now and you can think about the people coming up the pipeline that maybe don't have the money right now but will in the future, show your support for 89.7 NPR News on their behalf. 866-897-9678 is the number to call, or go to WOSU.org and support your favorite public radio station right now. Eli in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Eli.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call. One thing I haven't heard discussed is it helped me in my own genealogy search. I was tracing my family back. I got stuck in the 1820s and couldn't find a link. And then I got the advice to search the criminal record of my ancestors.
Yes.
And it got me a link. And my however many great-grandfathers was, John was arrested. He was hunted down by Kentucky marshals for getting a girl pregnant out of wedlock, which was a crime at the time.
Great idea.
I cannot speak. Prison records are so exciting. If you want to know where you've lost an ancestor, you've been tracking them and they disappear and you have no clue, you might want to see what prison records exist. We currently have prison records. I can't remember the time frame for the Ohio Penitentiary and the Ohio Reformatory. And even more exciting, we have access to the Bertillon card records online, where you can at home search to see if your person spent any time in prison. And what I love about the Bertillon cards is that it's a photo of your ancestor. So sometimes that might be the only image that you have, a photo you have of your person. So I love those records. And sometimes it's interesting to know about the crime, but more importantly, it's able to locate when they disappeared.
And before the photos came, they give very, very specific descriptions of what the people looked like.
Yes, because this was all taking place before fingerprints.
Right.
So
right.
If you wanted to keep track of that person, you needed to list marking, like scars or, you know, any deformities. Or it was really interesting. So even before the images, yes, especially for the Ohio Pen.
So where would they get those kind of records, like prison records and criminal records?
Well, I know we don't have the county records, well, the jails, but we do have Ohio Pen and Ohio Reformatory for certain years. Mm-hmm. So we have these great research guides on our website. We have a whole listing for prison records, military records, vital records, and I highly recommend that being your first search. And if you've lost someone or just kind of interested to see if you have any family name in a prison here in the state of Ohio, definitely use the website to see if you can locate either the collection or searching the Bertillon Card Index.
And I would also add to that, I have found a number of ancestors in asylum records.
Ah.
And when we think about asylum,
again,
we think about
the face of the map.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. We think about possibly mental illness, but a lot of people went to asylum who had physical ailment like tuberculosis, senility. So a lot of people at end of life were in asylums in Ohio. So if you're missing someone maybe in a small place in Ohio and you can't find them, search the asylum records in a large city that's nearby. That might give you a clue. And you know, you might be surprised the kinds of people who are housed there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Eli, thanks for that great call. Appreciate your time. Tom in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Tom.
Hi there. The individual who was looking for someone in New York and could only find them in the census, I wanted to mention that if you can look at newspaper archives, I've been pretty lucky in finding some folks that way. I have found that you pretty much have to contact libraries in a couple of different cities where you're looking, though. I haven't been able to find, you know, like small town Indiana newspapers anywhere like on Ancestry or here in Ohio. But I contacted someone in Indianapolis at the library, and they found a lot of good things for me. And you'll find good researchers at most public libraries like that.
Right.
So that might be another avenue that he might want to try to take a look at.
Thank you, Tom.
The other thing to keep in mind when you're searching for ancestors, particularly in the Midwest or the Northwest Territories, is that the county boundaries changed so much. And so, you know, in Ohio, for example, there didn't used to be 88 counties. We weren't founded with the 88 counties. So it's also important to understand the history of what county boundary was surrounding where your people were, because that could have evolved over time. So the records might be in kind of an unexpected place.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Oh, and I will add that we have about 4,500 individual titles throughout the state of Ohio. They are truly a wealth.
Newspapers.
Newspapers, yes. Correct. And the only downside is that there's, of course, really no index for some of them. So you have to hope that you're looking for obituaries and you have kind of a rough time frame,
right.
But wealth of information.
That is Elizabeth Woods. She's manager of library services for Ohio History Connection. And also with us, Kelly Bergheimer, Columbus-based professional genealogist. They're here to help us talk about genealogy and talk about that search for your family tree. And they're giving of their time on All Sides with Ann Fisher today during our fall membership drive. Our goal today is simple, to get your support. All Sides brings you conversations just like this all the time with interesting people about interesting topics. Today we're talking about genealogy, ancestry, family trees, DNA, and our thank you gift will help you with all of that. Make a gift now of $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 and get a premium membership to the Ohio History Connection. This includes membership for two named members and household children or grandchildren plus two guest passes. You get a lot of special things with this membership. Go to WOSU.org to see the entire list. But one special thing is that you get free access to Ancestry.com and the Ohio History Center Reading Room. And there are librarians there on hand to help you in your search on that site. You'll also get access to primary sources such as diaries, letters, maps, and military records, and some prison records. Plus, with your membership, you get access to all 50-plus Ohio History Connection sites and museums nationwide, and reciprocal membership benefits around the country to hundreds of other sites and museums. So you'll also be a member, by the way, of WOSU Public Media. And again, that is a premium membership to Ohio History Connection. So make a gift right now, $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Show your support for your public radio station, 89.7 NPR News. We rely on you at this time of year. Twice a year, we ask people for their support. We don't ask you every single day with advertisements. We ask you for your support twice a year. Members Listeners are our single largest source of revenue to make this station a reality, to make the programming come to life for you every single day. The number to call is 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Live within your means. If it's $5 a month you can manage, great. If it's $10 a month, great. If it's a one-time gift of $50, whatever it is, we're looking for new members. We want you to become a member of 89.7 NPR News. And when you become a member, you're voting for what you listen to every day. You're telling us that this is something that's important to you. And we need to know that. That's part of how we manage our job, is knowing who's out there and what you care about. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. My dad really got into genealogy big time. Some people say it's addictive, and I definitely know. I mean, he channeled so much of his curiosity, and he was a history major in college, a big history buff in general. He traveled a lot to do this, traveled a lot to Canada, traveled a lot to Germany and other places around the world to do this. And it wasn't fancy travel. It was and it was thrilling for him, absolutely thrilling. It's like uncovering a mystery.
It is.
Very much so.
And then you're talking about the groups. There are so many groups out there. It's great to talk with other people who care about things that
sure.
you care about.
You want to always talk to people who aren't going to glaze over when you start talking about ancestors.
And they're always going to be like familiar with something you didn't think about.
Right, yeah.
Or
exactly.
know the location of a collection of records that you find useful. So
it's a lot of groupthink going on. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the librarians at the Columbus History Collection. Connection.
They're awesome.
I mean, they've been asked a million questions over the years, and they remember, you know, I remember when somebody else asked me about something else, I found this. It didn't work for that, but you know what? It might work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, all librarians out there know you should always follow up with the reference interview to make sure you can get them the information, even if you do not have it within your walls. So, yeah, they definitely, they're experience. They remember the type of questions. They remember when they had to go to a different agency within the state of Ohio to find those records, or they are very familiar with the different groups that the specialties. So,
what is the strangest question, or are there any stories from the History Connection that I don't know that stick with you?
I'm going to need a moment to think on what I can share.
What about you, Kelly Bergheimer?
Well, when it comes to DNA, people ask a lot of questions. They want to know if they can prove their way back to Adam and Eve, or if they're related to someone famous.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people come searching for Native American ancestry. So there are a number of things that people kind of come to the meetings with or come to presentations and ask about. I think that the most interesting one was I was working with someone the other day who opened their laptop and had dozens of close family members pop up and couldn't figure that out. And I had to be the one to tell them that perhaps their father was a sperm donor.
Mm.
So, you know, there are sometimes things that happen and things that you find out that you might not have been aware of, whether her father was the donor or whether her father was actually her father in her household and also a donor.
Okay.
You know, it could have been either of those scenarios, but she has a lot of half siblings out there. So, you know, there are things like that that people come to me and they're puzzled by. It's always interesting.
Thanks to Lynn Stan from Columbus for your pledge of support. The number to call, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Elizabeth Woods.
I was just going to say, I think we do get interesting ones, but I think what stands out to me is how, unfortunately, time has trained us that everything's available online.
Yes.
So we often get questions that they're shocked that that hasn't been digitized or hasn't been indexed or is not available. So we do get the interesting ones that we just blink a couple times and then work to answer.
Yeah.
But a lot of them is the shock of I don't understand why this isn't accessible.
Because we're so spoiled now.
Yes, yes.
But there's some things you have to still do by yourself.
Response.
Well,
yes.
Elizabeth Woods, thanks for doing what you do, manager of
thank
library
you.
Services at the Ohio History Connection.
Yes,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Joining us today.
Thank you. Can I speak to our sites? I know this wasn't why I'm
here. We will post them. We will post a link to your website and the phone numbers on our website at WOSU.org. Kelly Bergheimer, Columbus-based professional genealogist, thanks for taking the time for us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org. It's a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News. It's global, it's local, and that's because you show your support for your favorite public radio station, 89.7 NPR News. Make the call right now, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Remember, we work hard every day to bring you the content you've come to rely on. Show us that that matters to you. Call us now at 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We want to bring you programs that help you with everything from your finances to genealogy to gardening to politics to current events to the issues of our day. We can only do that with your help and with your support. Tell us you think and you know that this is something that matters to you. Call 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. We're dedicated to bringing you all the in-depth local news from our award-winning news team and from this show. Tell us that matters to you. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thanks for your support.